You're listening to a Radio 191 FM podcast.
You're tuned in to the R1 News, your stop for news and current affairs on the airwaves. 11 to 12 weekdays here on Radio 191 FM, Te Reo Irirangi Kotahi.
Tēnā koutou I tēnei ata. Kei te whakarunga mai koe ki Te Reo Irirangi Kotahi. Ko Zach Toku Ingoa. And you're listening to the R1 News for Rapa, Te Tekau Mā Iwa o Hongongoi. On the program I tēnei rā, we have an interview with Environment Southland Biosecurity and Biodiversity Operations Officer Ali Mead about the ecological consequences of two new invasive marine species making their home in Rakiura's waters. After that, we have an interview with Dr. David Jenkins from the University of Otago's Department of Politics about how the British Conservative Party's recent turmoil is set to affect the British political landscape. Then we have What the Puck, where hockey commentator Dave Borry will come on through to talk about the Phoenix Thunder's weekend games. Lastly, we have an astrology report looking into the cosmological airbenders. That's right, Libra, Gemini and Aquarius. Firstly, we have Eileen with news and weather, but before that, we got to get through a song. Here's Mike Patton with Senza Fine. You're listening to The One.
Thank you.
Kia ora koutou katoa, welcome back to the R1 News Show for Rapa, Te Te Kau Mā Iwa or Hongongoi. It is currently 10 past 11 and that was Mike Patton with Senza Vine. Up now we have Eileen Corcoran with headlines and weather.
The R1 News Headlines.
Tēnā koutou, ko Eileen aho. A rāhui is in place on parts of the Otago Harbour after a body was found in Deborah Bay. Emergency services attended the sudden death, which is not thought to be suspicious, at 5:20 p.m. last night. Te Runanga o Otago have placed the rāhui from Steamer Basin to Tairoa Head until 5 a.m. Thursday. Flooding across Otago and Canterbury has left behind major clean-up jobs. Roads across the South Island are closed after slips caused damage, bridges washed away and houses and farms are flooded. Lake Oho Township has been cut off, while locals in Otimatata say that it's the largest storm in nearly half a century. Roads are expected to be cleared as rain eases over the next day. And those are the headlines on R1 News. Now, ke te pēhea te āhua o te rangi. How's the weather?
The R1 News weather.
Otipoti can expect occasional drizzle throughout the day, with southerlies and a high of Waru, 8, a low of Rima, 5. Rāpare Thursday looks like it will welcome the sun back to the south, with only partial cloud, a few showers and southerlies, a high of Waru, 8 again, and a low of Ono, 6.
That was the R1 News headlines. Catch up at r1.co.nz/news or find us at Radio 1 91 FM on Twitter or R1 News NZ on Instagram and tune in to R1 News at 11 a.m. on weekdays.
Kia ora Eileen for those fantastic news and weather updates. It's currently 11:11 here on the Rapa R1 News program. Coming up next we have Environment Southland Biosecurity and Biodiversity Operations Officer Ali Mead coming on to talk about the environmental consequences of two new invasive species landing in Arakiura's waters. But before then, we have some music. Here's Strip Search by Faith No More. Puritia kia raka. We'll be right back. Kia ora koutou katoa, welcome back to the Rapa R1 News Show here on Radio 1, Te Reo Irangi Kotahi. It is currently 11:16. Right now on the program we have an interview with Environment Southland Biosecurity and Biodiversity Operations Officer Ali Mead about the arrival of two new invasive marine species, the carpet sea squirt and undaria, in Arakiora. In this interview we'll be investigating what these two species mean for the local marine environment, what can be done to minimise the harm that they cause.
Last week, on the 13th of July, Environment Southland put out a press release describing the detection of two new marine species in the waters of Rakiora, Stewart Island. A pest colloquially known as carpet sea squirt has been spotted in two locations, while the invasive seaweed, undaria, has been discovered at a new site. I'm now joined by Environment Southland Biosecurity and Biodiversity Operations Manager Ali Mead to discuss the consequences of these marine pests' arrival and where we can go from here. Kia ora, Ali.
Good morning.
Both sea squirts and seaweed are relatively low on the food chain. These are not pests to marine animals in the same way that, say, ferrets are to native birds. What is it about these species that makes them a threat to Aotearoa's waters?
So these species have got the capacity to take over and smother. So they become a monoculture. They are very, very competitive. They get into environment and they just take over everything. So they outcompete with all of our native species. So they're a potential risk to spawning fish. They can cause a bit of a nuisance around our infrastructure if they coat wharves and if they coat our aquaculture equipment. And they can sort of smother everything that would normally live on the seabed. So they can cause quite a lot of a problem, even though they don't predate and eat our native species.
What areas have these marine pests been detected in? Is there any plan in place to search the waters of Rakiora for further spread?
So we've got some known infestation sites, unfortunately, that we're now working on around Rakiora. But what we're going to do is try and look a lot wider throughout Rakiora waters and throughout Southland, just to try and find out where else they could be. Hopefully they're not in any other places, but to just try and keep a track on it. Now, undaria has been in the region for a while, and we do know that it is quite spread, particularly around Bluff and Oban out on Rakiora. And we've had a long-standing project to protect Fiordland and trying to keep it out of Fiordland and contain it to the one site that it is known in Fiordland. So that one is more widespread, and we've got a long-standing program to keep that one in place.
What sort of eradication plan will Environment Southland implement to combat these two pests?
So with undaria, around Rakiora, we'll be sending divers down to pull all of the undaria that we can find out. Hopefully we can get to it before it puts too many spores out in the water and we'll be able to get on top of it that way. We are currently working with scientists from throughout the country and overseas to get some advice on how to deal with the carpet sea squirt and what is going to be possible and what sort of management we should be putting in place now that it has arrived in Southland.
With the country's travel borders opening up after years of being carefully managed, do you think there's an increased chance of introduction of new pests and diseases to Aotearoa?
With any movement between countries and around the country, there's risk. Our national biosecurity system is looked after by MPI, and they do a fantastic job of sort of border checks and working with boat operators and things like that to make sure that they're not bringing things in. But there is always a risk. Here in Southland, we're particularly concerned about things moving around the country. So there might be things that are up in Auckland and Nelson and elsewhere that we don't have. So we're really keen on keeping them out of Southland and making sure that we can stop those pathways before we get infected down here in the south.
What can the government be doing to ensure minimal spread of new pests and diseases around Aotearoa?
So we work really closely with Ministry for Primary Industries and the government and all of the other regional councils on this and all working quite hard to just try and stop those pathway management. So it's really down to individuals as well, like people making sure that their boats are clean, making sure that all of their gear is clean, because it's us that will spread things as we move around. So we need to take quite a lot of ownership ourselves on making sure that stuff is clean. We do, of course, try and check things where possible and make sure people are following the rules, as do MPI in their role at the border. So there's a role for everybody, but the most important thing is for people to keep checking themselves and keep things clean.
And following on from that individual role, what can people be looking out for to promote the effective eradication of carpet sea squirt and undaria in Aotearoa, and to ensure other marine pests are quickly reported?
Yep, so the most important thing is making sure that all of your own equipment is clean. So if you're going to go on a boat trip, really good to check under the hull of your boat before you leave and check that it is clean and you're not carrying anything that you shouldn't be. And the same with your fishing gear or your dive gear, your snorkel gear, anything that you're moving around, please make sure it's clean. The other thing is, if you're out in the marine environment and you see something unusual, something that you're not sure you've seen before, really important to report it. So if you're down here in Southland, please come to the regional council and say, I've seen this thing, not sure what it is, it doesn't look right, please can somebody check it. And by reporting it through to us, we can pick up on things early and hopefully get on top of things before they become a real issue.
Ngā mihi, Ali, thank you for chatting to me.
Not a problem, thank you for having me.
Kia ora kaia for doing that interview. That was a little interview with Ali Mead, who is the Environment Southland Biosecurity and Biodiversity Operations Manager, discussing the arrival of two new marine invasive species in Rakiura and how they can be managed to prevent them from doing enough harm. Up next on the program, we have an interview with Politics Professor David Jenkins about the repercussions of Boris Johnson stepping down and how this will affect the British political landscape. But first, we're going to get through one track. I reckon we play Bruce Lee by Underworld. It's currently 11:23 here on the Rapa R1 News Show. Take care.
Luke got the wrong blog.
Kia ora koutou katoa. That was Underworld with Bruce Lee. Fantastic, fantastic techno-y, housey song. It is currently 11:26 on the Rapa R1 News Programme. Now we have an interview with political professor from the University of Otago, Dr. David Jenkins, about the resignation of Boris Johnson, what it means that he's now stepping down, the effect that this has on the wider British political landscape, and what the Conservative Party can do from here on out.
Anyone who's been online over the past few weeks will have encountered a plethora of headlines featuring the words Boris Johnson, Tories, and leadership race. The current disrupted state of politics in the United Kingdom may be widely covered online, but that does not mean it's necessarily intuitive to understand and digest, especially from the other side of the globe, in a country with a completely different democratic system. I'm joined now by Dr. David Jenkins from the University of Otago's Politics Department to discuss the recent developments in UK politics, why Prime Minister Boris Johnson is stepping down from his role as party leader, and what we can expect from coming months of the Conservative or Tory party leadership race. Kia ora, David.
Hi there. How you doing, Kaya?
Great, thank you. Johnson is stepping down in response to more than 50 resignations from ministers and aides and mounting pressure from within the party. What has prompted so many ministerial resignations over the past few weeks?
So the kind of straw that broke the camel's back was his handling of Chris Pincher, who was the chief whip of the party. And so there were allegations of kind of sexual misconduct. There were then revelations that Johnson knew all about this. And so essentially... the party, I think basically the members in the party, the parliamentary party, just thought this was the kind of the last straw. But I mean, there's an accumulation of things across the board. There's the handling of Brexit, in particular the kind of the Northern Ireland protocol. There's been Partygate scandal. I don't know how much kind of New Zealand audiences are aware of Partygate, but you know, during the pandemic, there was a kind of a culture of just mendacity. There was there were parties at Number 10 Downing Street, which Johnson was, you know, fully aware of, while the rest of the country was in lockdown and, you know, not being able to visit dying loved ones and this kind of thing. And so, I mean, before that, there was the kind of Dominic Cummings scandal as well. So there's been a number of issues. There's been a number of, arenas of there's been a number of kind of issues of misconduct. Just during his premiership, I mean, let alone the kind of the scandals that have occurred with respect to Russian donors, kind of as lying as a journalist, you know, corruption. I mean, that's a long answer to the question, but in sum, it's just this is the straw that broke the camel's back, this incident with Chris Pincher, and, you know, the language of a lack of integrity and whatever else is now has kind of reared its head coming from these different members.
Why has the onslaught of recent resignations coupled with internal Tory party pressure caused Johnson to step down?
I think it was just untenable for him. I mean, he's not exactly backed away with much grace. So I think he would have happily stayed on if he could. It was untenable at this point. There was no way for him to maintain power. It was just too much pressure. So, I mean, the majority of his cabinet quit. I think Liz Truss was one of the few who didn't. I think there was only one other who didn't. And so it was essentially that moment where the, you know, people saw opportunity to replace him as a leader. And so, you know, that was the end of his reign, as it were.
Right now, there are five candidates to step up as the UK's new prime minister. They have been selected entirely by Conservatives in Parliament. Once the race is narrowed down to two candidates, grassroots members of the Conservative Party across the United Kingdom will have the opportunity to vote for the next prime minister of the country. There'll be no general election. Why is this the current system for tackling resignations in Parliament, and how does this fit into the idea of democracy?
Great question. Yeah, great question. It's actually down to four now. So Tom Tugendhat has just bowed out. So now there's four remaining. And it's a great question. And in fact, it's worth looking at the fact that they, you know, they talk about a colossal mandate they've got, which has given them an 80-seat majority in Parliament, even though the votes are not there to back that up, even though the majority of people in this country who voted didn't vote for the Tories. So they talk about colossal mandates. They also talk about, I mean, they for instance, their current assaults on democracy, the majority of them were not in their manifesto. The only one that was an attack on voter IDs, basically an attempt to potentially disenfranchise millions of voters. So, you know, the Tories are not really that interested in a democratic process. It is interesting that at least this procedure that they've adopted for the election of their own party members, you know, it's not first past the post. So although they're more than willing to kind of enjoy the windfall that comes from a first past the post system, when it comes to their own party elections, you know, they're not willing to go that direction. But I think, I mean, in terms of the kind of democratic credentials of the of this particular approach to electing a leader, I just think it speaks to a general lack of the truth is that the Tory party, this membership dropped to 70,000 until recently. In fact, it's interesting that it kind of got up to about 200,000 until recently on the back, I think, of kind of Johnson's personal popularity. But they're not a party with a particularly active membership. They are the party itself. This is an interesting thing. I'm sure your listeners will be interested in. 4% of the membership think that getting net zero is a priority, whereas in the population at large, it's around 65%. And the fact is that with the members, if it went to a straight race, someone like Penny Mordaunt or even Kemi Badenoch, both mostly untried politicians, unseasoned politicians, particularly Badenoch, who is her agenda is a kind of wokist culture warrior type approach. And so the way in which the membership reflects the kind of the wider sentiments of the public just isn't there. If you look at the younger demographics, it isn't there. It's not a reflective party. And so it's the fact that we have this electoral system, which, you know, New Zealand had and then got rid of, which is allowing the Tories to, you know, continue bringing up another general election without any kind of acceptance of the fact that they might well have lost their mandate.
What can we expect from the transition to a new prime minister following what has been and will likely continue to be a very turbulent race?
So if you go to the, if you watch the debates, very little talk of climate change. There's very little talk of Russia and Ukraine. There is talk of tax cuts, and Rishi Sunak is the only one who's saying that he would delay these tax cuts. He made an accusation of Liz Truss that she's dealing in socialist economics. I mean, the chance would be a fine thing. It's just the level of discourse is, it's kind of nice to watch them tear chunks out of each other, but it is, it's just vapid. There's nothing ideologically novel about this. There's no kind of political sophistication. They're appealing to demographics which are not represented in the majority of the country, and which do not confront what are these multiple crises that working people in this country are having to confront, and not to mention the kind of constitutional crisis which comes from having an electoral democracy that for me just doesn't deserve the name.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, David.
All right. That was fun.
Kia ora kaya for doing that interview. That was an interview with politics professor from the University of Otago, Department of Politics, David Jenkins, about Boris Johnson and the future of the Conservative Party in the UK. It is currently 11:35 here on the Arapa R1 News Programme. Coming up next, we have a hockey segment called What the Puck with Dave Borry, hockey commentator, renowned hockey commentator Dave Borry, about the Phoenix Thunder team and their weekend. How many games did they play? How were the games? Dave's here to fill us in, and I know there's an answer from the Beach Boys. You're listening to the one? Puritia Kia Raka.
They isolate their heads and stay in their safety zone.
Kia ora koutou katoa. Welcome back to the R1 News for Rapa, Te Ruatekau o Hongloi. It is now What the Puck time. Is it not, Mr. Dave Barry?
Yes, it is. It's time. Time for a wee hockey, a wee local ice hockey rundown.
Yes. I'm curious to know what is going on in the world of local Otipoti hockey.
Oh, yes. Well, it was the first home game. Well, first of all, if you're not sure what the local hockey team, the ice hockey team is, it's of course the Phoenix Thunder, the Dunedin Phoenix Thunder, and their stadium is down at the Ice Stadium on Victoria Road in South D, and they had their first home game of the NZIHL, the New Zealand Ice Hockey League season, on the 15th and the 16th of July last Friday and Saturday. And it was against the Canterbury Red Devils.
Oh, those classic Red Devils.
Oh, they are... They're a rough team.
They're a bunch of rabble rousers.
They genuinely are a bunch of rabble rousers, and it was great. Great to be back in the barn. Great to be back watching some hockey, and it was a very special game on the 15th because two of the Thunder players, Tristan Darling and Ben Harford, the captain Ben Harford and assistant captain Tristan Darling, they got 100 games. It was their 100th game.
Whoa,
which is crazy for Tristan. He's played all of his in the Phoenix Thunder, and Ben spent a little bit of time at the Queenstown Stampede. But it was amazing. A great game. The 15th, unfortunately, the Thunder did lose. It was 2-4. It was 2-2 going into the third period, and the Canterbury Red Devils got up. The Thunder pulled their goalie, and unfortunately they snuck away. Got another goal, 2-4 loss. And on the 16th, the Canterbury Red Devils player, Anton Pervo, got 200 games.
What's his name? Can you say it again?
Anton Pervo.
Okay, good.
Sorry, I've got a Southland accent. P-U-R-V-E-R.
Ah, Pervo. Cool.
And he got 200 games in the NZIHL, which is an incredible achievement.
All right.
And all of them for the Canterbury Red Devils. Started skating when he was 15 or something.
My God.
Crazy, crazy town.
Super impressive.
And the Red Devils got up in that game as well. It was 3-5. But the Thunder... they've come a long way since the preseason.
Yeah,
they're a fairly young team with a lot of young players on there, and you can see them slowly. They're starting to work together more as a team. They're figuring out their lines. They're figuring out how to play together, and it's great hockey. It's not like they're getting clapped, you know, 7-2. They're all close games, and those two games, the score doesn't reflect how close it was because it was really tight until the third period for both of them. So, great weekend down at the barn. The Phoenix Thunder have a bye this weekend, but in 2 weeks' time, they'll be back at the Dunedin Ice Stadium. Game tickets are like $10 each. It's such a great time. Bring a jacket, bring a coat.
Yeah.
It's on the 29th and the 30th of July against the West Auckland Admirals.
Ooh!
Which is it's a bit of a rival match between student radio SRN stations because that's the 95BFM team.
So really?
We're going to smoke them.
We're going to smoke them. Yeah.
But that's your little NZIHL rundown for you. What the Puck. Thank you for having me, Zach.
Thank you for coming on, Dave.
Awesome. Anytime.
I love to learn all about this hockey lore. Local hockey lore. That was What the Puck featuring hockey commentator Dave Borry. It is currently 11:42 here on the Rapa R1 News Show. Coming up next, we have the Astrology Report. We're looking into all you airbenders. That's right, Gemini, Aquarius, and Libra. But first, we've got back where we started from, from Maxine Nightingale, Puritia Kia Raka. Kia ora koutou katoa. That was Maxine Nightingale with Right Back Where We Started From. And do you smell that? Do you smell that? It smells like astrology to me.
The Radio 1 Astrology.
I am very sorry if that made you genuinely uncomfortable, but regardless, ni hao, aloha, konnichiwa, haere mai, and welcome back to the renowned R1 Astrology Report. It's a devilish little radio segment where we harness the black magics of the universe to give you a head start on your day. Unless you're a Cancer, in which case you just leave the room, eh? Aquarius, this morning you've got to watch your words, sweetie. What with the harsh T-square between the Sun, the Moon, and puny Pluto, you want to be very careful about how much of yourself you reveal today. One good way around getting around this is by joining an Xbox Call of Duty lobby. That way you can say or do just about anything and no one will be the wiser. But be sure to touch some grass. You don't want to do too much gaming with such beautiful, dunner-stunner weather about. I mean, just look outside your window. Doesn't that make you want to go outside and have a good frolic? Makes me want to frolic. Now, Gemini, up next. Classic Gemini, blah, blah, blah. Two faces, two heads, whatever. Today, you're going to be doing some self-care. Okay? Now, this won't be a particularly novel exercise for you, Gemini, but you got to prioritize your own needs. Okay, you desperately need a break from carrying the world on all four of your treacherous shoulders. Be sure to find a quiet space and truly connect with your senses today. You're in need of desperate grounding. So I would suggest go to somewhere like Time Zone to really find yourself. Relish in those subtle arcade lights. Relish in those ambient game noises. And enjoy, savor even, the sweet smell of those fresh tickets and the lingering scent of all those customers. Now lastly, for all these airbenders, these bloody airbenders, we have the Libra. Bruh, what are you doing this week? Although it's only the start of the semester, you've got to keep focused. Make sure you attend all your lectures and avoid playing too much Minesweeper. Be sure to save some money as well. Don't go out all night, every night. That's bad for your pocket, your soul, and for most other people around you. Up next on the program, we have Hurt by Eddie Chacon, and then we'll do a little show wrap-up. This has been the Astrology Report on Rapa Awan News. It is currently 11:48. Hope you're all having a fantastic day. Here's Hurt by Eddie Chacon. You were hurting yourself.
This is the R1 News on Radio 1 91 FM. Te Reo Irirangi Kotahi.
Tēnā koutou katoa, welcome back to the R1 News Show, the Rapa R1 News Show, I should say. It is now 11:56 a.m., not p.m., that would be a little bit strange. That was Astro Children with While I Appreciate Your Concern. Before that, we had Hurt by Eddie Chacon. And before that, segment-wise, we had none other than the R1 Astrology Report, where we delved into the airbenders, that's right, the Gemini, Aquarius, and Libras of the world. Overall, the show has been pretty short, pretty quiet. It's been pretty breezy. We had an interview with Ali Mead, the Environment Southland Biosecurity and Biodiversity Operations Manager, about the ecological consequences of the two new invasive marine species which are invading Rakiura's waters. These are Undaria and the Carpet Sea Squirt. Then after that, we had another interview, which was both have been conducted by Kaya, with with politics professor David Jenkins from the University of Otago about what the UK Conservative Party implosion means for British politics. You know, we had the 42 high-ranking MPs stepping down, and then following that, Boris Johnson stepped down as party leader, and now there are party elections within the Conservative Party about who should be the next leader. It is a very, very fascinating time for politics. Then hockey commentator Dave Borry came through on the hockey segment, What the Puck, to talk about the Phoenix Thunder Games. It's been a very diverse show in terms of topics being covered and whatnot. I hope you've all had a blast listening in, and remember to listen in every weekday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. on Radio 1 Te Reo Irirangi Kotahi for the classic slice of R1 News. Have a fantastic day. Try not to get too wet in this weather, and just try to get on by, have some fun, do the usual. Ka kite.
You've been tuned in to the R1 News, weekdays from 11 to 12 here on Radio 1 91 FM, Te Reo Irirangi Kotahi. Catch up at r1.co.nz/news or find us at Radio 1 91 FM on Twitter or R1 News NZ on Instagram.
So I may have pray for the money for the family. Money me a pray in a life. So I may not watch nobody. Damn no. Money me a pray in a life. So I may have pray for the money for the family. Money me a pray in a life. So I may not watch nobody. Damn no. Sick in a me head. Money bust my brain. Money running a me vein. Sick me a sick in a me head. It a run my vein. It a run my brain. Sick me a sick in a me head, money bust my brain, money running a me vein. Sick me a sick in a me head, we are on money, we no time for money. I show me money, same thing money, $1 million me will buy flashy laughing. Me no care any hard boy, I feel make it. In the Babylon Camry, we don't we a make money. So if you money, somehow we have your money. All your claim money, me no one dirty money. You feel know this man original body. Them say money is the root of you, me no care this. Money me a pray in a life, so I may a pray for the money for the family. Money me a pray in a life, so I may not watch nobody. Damn no. Money me a pray in a life, so I may a pray for the money for the family. Money me a pray in a life, so I may not watch nobody. Damn. Money we are making, we not faking. Any obstacles on the way, but them no say we are breaking. Same money and my mama them a hustle fee. Same money and my friend them a cry fee. Same money and they polish up my life fee. Same money and they bismal them want it. Same money and my mama them a hustle fee. Same money and my friend them a cry fee. Same money and they polish up my life fee. Same money and they bismal them want it. I saw me money, same thing want it. $1 million be will buy flashy laughing. Me no care any hard boy if you make it. And the Babylon Camry we don't way I make money. Some you feel money, some I work half your money. Your claim money, me no one dirty money. You feel no this man original body. Them say money is the root of evil. Money me a pray in a life, so I may a pray for the money for the family. Money me a pray in a life, so I may not watch nobody. Money me a pray in a life, so I may a pray for the money for the family. Money me a pray in a life, so I may not watch nobody. Original. Mangrove pray for me money. Pastor teacher man and the newsreader. Music man magician and the drum guy. Same way me want money. Skidabam bam 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 bam.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.